नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय इन्द्रियाणि मनः प्राणः आत्मधर्मो तृतीयमति हरिश्रीस्थे जस्मृति सत्यम् यस्य नश्यन्ति जन्मना इन्द्रियाणि मनः प्राणः आत्मा धर्मो तृतीयमति हरिश्रीस्थे जस्मृति सत्यम् यस्य नश्यन्ति जन्मना इन्द्रियाणि मनः प्राणः आत्मधर्मो तृतीयमति हरिश्रीस्थे जस्मृति सत्यम् यस्य नश्यन्ति जन्मना
ladies.
Indriyani, the senses, mana, the mind, prana, the life air, atma, the body, dharma, religion, dhriti, patience, mati, intelligence, hari, shyness, sri, opulence, teja, strength, smriti, memory, satyam, truthfulness, yasya, of which lusty desires, nashyanti, are vanquished, janmana, from the very beginning of birth. O my Lord, because of lusty desires from the very beginning of one's birth, the functions of one's senses, mind, life, body, religion, patience, intelligence, shyness, opulence, strength, memory, and truthfulness are vanquished. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Kamam Harid Rogam, materialistic life means that one is afflicted by a formidable disease called lusty desire. Liberation means freedom from lusty desires, because it is only due to such desires that one must accept repeated birth and death. As long as one's lusty desires are unfulfilled, one must take birth after birth to fulfill them. Because of material desires, therefore, one performs various types of activities and receives various types of bodies with which to try to fulfill desires that are never satisfied. The only remedy is to take to devotional service, which begins when one is free from all material desires. Anyabhilashita sunyam. Anyabhilashita means material desire. Shunyam means free from. The spiritual soul has spiritual activities and spiritual desires, as described by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mamma janmani janmanishware bhavatad bhakti rahayita ki twai. Unalloyed devotion to the service of the Lord is the only spiritual desire. To fulfill this spiritual desire, however, one must be free from all material desires. Desirelessness means freedom from material desires. This is described by Srila Rupa Goswami as anyabhilashita sunyam. As soon as one has material desires, one loses his spiritual identity. Then all the paraphernalia of one's life, including one's senses, body, religion, patience, and intelligence, are deviated from one's original Krishna consciousness. As soon as one has material desires, one cannot properly use his senses, intelligence, mind, and so on for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mayavadi philosophers want to become impersonal, senseless, and mindless. But that is not possible. The living entity must be living, always existing with desires, ambitions, and so on. These should be purified. However, so that one can desire spiritually and be spiritually ambitious without material contamination. In every living entity, these propensities exist because he is a living entity. When materially contaminated, however, one is put into the hands of material misery. Janma mrityu jara vyadhi. If one wants to stop repeated birth and death, one must take to the devotional service of the Lord. Sarva padiva nirmuktam tatparatvena nirmalam hrishikena hrishikesha sevanam bhakti uchate. Bhakti or devotional service means engaging all our senses in the service of the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the master of all the senses. When the spirit soul renders service unto the Supreme, there are two side effects. One is freed from all material designations, and simply by being employed in the service of the Lord, one's senses are purified. Om Agyan Timidandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutha Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathambitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Bitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Kopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Very grateful and very honored and very happy to be with you in New Dwarka. Special gratitude to Swabhas Prabhu, Tadit Devi Mataji for opening the auspicious new doors of your temple for me, for all of us. We are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 10, entitled Prahlad, the Best Among Exalted Devotees, Text Number 8. In the previous few verses, Lord Narasimhadev is pacified by the humble prayers of Prahlad and offering him any benediction. He tells Prahlad that some people know me, but they don't really get my benedictions. But one who pleases me, they receive my benedictions. Atapumbird vichastrestas varna shrama vibhaga shashvanustatas vidharmasya samsadir haritoshana. The success, the perfection of all of our dharma, our religions, our occupational duties, the success of every aspect of our life is to what extent it gives pleasure to Krishna, to the Supreme Lord. Whatever we may know, whatever we could do, if Krishna is pleased, that is our perfection. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayachchati. And Krishna tells in Gita, even if one offers me a fruit, a flower, or a little water, if it is offered with sincere devotion, I am pleased. Prahlad was only 5 years old. Hiranyakashipu was insurmountably afraid of his little child because he could not control him. Prahlad loved his father, always offered all respect to his father. He was a tiny little boy. He hadn't learned any military sciences. He wasn't physically very strong. Hiranyakashipu was the strongest man in the universe, besides Brahma and Shiva. He had extraordinary mystical yogic siddhis. It is said that when he moved his eyebrow, the demigods would shake in fear. That was his power. But yet, his body was consumed with fear because his little loving son, he could not control him. That is the nature of material existence. No matter how prominent and proficient we become materially in any way, we can never be free from fear and anxiety. Bhajahure mana srinandanandana abhaya charanara vindare. But when our mind finds shelter in the loving mercy of Lord Krishna, then we become fearless. Prahlad Maharaj was not concerned whether he lives or dies. Prahlad was just concerned with remembering Krishna with love. And therefore he was beyond birth and beyond death. What you don't ask for in devotional service, you get. All Prahlad, and what you ask for, you get too. What did Prahlad ask for? Narsingadeva is offering him any benediction. Now we have to actually take this very seriously. If the Supreme Absolute Truth, the cause of all causes, the Lord of all creation, the husband of the goddess of fortune, were personally standing before you in this most awesome form of Narasingadeva, saying, I will give you anything. I am pleased with you. What would we ask for? Prahlad, he said to Narasingadeva, that why are you testing me in this way? If I ask for anything, then I'm not a devotee. I'm just doing business with you. I'm giving my life, I'm giving my body, my words, my very soul, my everything, and I expect something in return. That's not bhakti. That's business. Just allow me to always remember you. And allow me to, as we see in this verse, be free from all of these lusty material desires so that I could actually become your devotee. And Srila Prabhupada here takes the opportunity in the purport to emphasize what devotional service actually is. It's not to extinguish our desires. It's to desire Krishna satisfaction in everything we think, everything we speak, everything we do. And when we engage our mind and senses in Krishna's devotional service, because Krishna is pavitra, he is supremely pure, we become purified. That is the ultimate benediction the Lord gives us. He purifies us. Because in the purified state, we realize who we really are. Jivera swarupoi krishnara nitya das. We're eternal servants of Krishna. Nitya siddha krishna prema sajya kabuna. When Krishna is pleased, when we chant his names, we realize the love for Krishna that is within our hearts. And that love is what everyone is searching for, crying for, but has forgotten what it is, where it is, and how to get it. When Krishna purifies us to realize that the ultimate goal, the ultimate fulfillment that the soul is yearning for is simply to awaken. Jeev jago, gora chandra pole. In this material world, we cannot wake up on our own. The sleep is too deep. But by Krishna's grace, we awaken. And what is the nature of an awakened person? We are seeing in little Prahlad. Doesn't ask anything from the Lord except to serve. And when he saw that the Lord was really insistent on giving him something, he said, give my father liberation. There's a place in South India called Melkote. Have any of you ever been there? Please raise your hand. Well, there's a beautiful lake on the bottom of a mountain. And if you climb this mountain, I think it's about 400 steps to get to the top of this mountain. There's an ancient temple. And Prahlad used to live on top of that mountain where the temple is. After he was the king, this is many years, well, he was actually the king the same day as what we're reading in this verses today. After he offered his prayers to Lord Narasingadev, Lord Narahari arranged for Brahma to make Prahlad the king and sit on the same throne that his father, Hiranyakashipu, had occupied. So he was a 5-year-old king. But he had such wisdom because he had the grace of the Lord in everything he did. But some years later, he was on a tour. And he came to this mountaintop. And he had a Shalagram Shila. Prahlad cried. He cried because he felt so guilty. He was praying to Lord in his Shalagram Shila that because of me, my father had to die. See how unfortunate my life is. Just so that I could live, just so that I could become the king, my own father had to die. He wasn't just reciting some nice poetry while thinking of something else. From the core of his heart, he was deeply lamenting. Then he went down to the pond, the lake, took his bath, and when he came back up, the Shalagram Shila had manifested as Lord Narasimhadev. Still there today, one of the most famous deities of Narasimha in the world. His name is Yoga Narasimha. He's sitting in Padmasana, in a lotus posture, with some straps around his knees, because he's been sitting there for a long time. And Lord Narasimhadev spoke to Prahlad when Prahlad came back up. He said, "You see, just like previously, I came out of a stone pillar to manifest myself to save you from Hiranyakashipu. Now I have manifested myself out of a stone Shalagram Shila with the same form to save you from your own anxieties." He said, "It wasn't because of you that your father died. Hiranyakashipu had created so much pain and suffering to so many people. It was his own karma. He had to die. But because of you, Prahlad, he was liberated. If not for you, he would have had to undergo the reactions to all of the miseries he caused so many people. But because of your prayers and your devotion, I have given Hiranyakashipu liberation. So be happy, Prahlad. Give up your lamentation." So Prahlad became very happy. Now this is quite beyond the human emotional, psychological capacity to understand to what extent he was forgiving from the core of his heart. But this is actually the natural quality of a great soul. One who has a pure heart. Years later, Ramanujacharya lived there and worshipped that deity for about 12 years. May I tell a little of the story of how that came to be? Sripad Ramanujacharya, huh? Savas Prabhu, permission? Tadit Mataji? Thank you. He was the Acharya of Sri Rangam, South India. Sri Rangam was the temple of Ranganath, and he had tens and thousands of followers. He was the Acharya of the Lakshmi or Sri Sampradaya. He had, among his many, many disciples, two that were extremely close to him, Dasarathi and Quraysh. Quraysh was a family man. His wife's name was Andal. And at one time, he was an extraordinarily wealthy person. He owned an entire territory called Kura. Therefore, his name was Quraysh, the Lord of Kura. There's an extraordinary story. Under the circumstances, Lakshmi Devi wanted to see him and bless him because he was so charitable. And when he heard that, he became so ashamed that she wants to see me because I'm so charitable, but all I'm doing is giving what she has given me. It's not mine. So he gave up everything he owned. And along with his wife, who was completely supportive, they walked through the forest with nothing to meet with their guru, Ramanujacharya, and just to do seva for him. So Quraysh became a guru himself. And one of his disciples was Chatugram, who was extremely intelligent. But somehow or other, he became very egoistic. And for whatever reason, he wasn't getting the recognition. He was seeing through his own ego. He became extremely critical of his guru, Quraysh, and his guru, Ramanujacharya. So he left. And because of his intelligence, he went to the king of the Chola dynasty and became one of his chief ministers. Now, this king of the Chola dynasty was a total religious fanatic. He had a conception of God. He worshipped Shiva. And he felt that everyone must worship the way I worship. Otherwise, they are my enemies. So Chatugram, he wanted to see Ramanuja and his followers killed. This was his guru. Chatugram told the king that as long as Ramanujacharya is preaching about bhakti, then he will keep making more and more and more followers. That's a great threat to you. If you want your religion to spread, if you want this to be the one religion of your kingdom, then you have to do one of two things. You either have to defeat him and get him to surrender to you, or you have to kill him. So my suggestion is, challenge him to a debate. If you win, everyone has to surrender. If he wins, he must die. So the king was very happy with this proposal. Chatugram left. He didn't want to have to see face to face. So meanwhile, the invitation came. Ramanujacharya, you are being invited to the court of the king for a debate. So he knew that the king was very, very cruel. But he was so simple in heart. He said, yes, yes, I will go and I will debate. And his disciples were saying, no, you shouldn't go. He said, yeah, I'm being invited. How can I refuse an invitation from the king? I will go to debate him. And at that time, Quraysh, he fell at his guru's feet and cried. Tears from his heart. He said, my Gurudev, he said, if you die, that will be the greatest loss to the entire world. If I die, nobody will care. You take my white grihastha clothes and let me take your saffron sannyasi clothes. Because the king doesn't know what you look like. And let me go in your place. Ramanujacharya said, no, how could I do that? I cannot subject you to this. But Quraysh was begging and praying like little Prahlad. This is the only benediction. I've never asked anything of you. This is the only thing I ask of you. And other disciples were saying the same thing. Please let Quraysh go. So Ramanujacharya, just to fulfill the heart's desire of Quraysh, He took off his clothes and gave them. And Koresh dressed like a sannyasi. And then Ramanujacharya put on white grihastha clothes. Something quite extraordinary in the tradition of South India. And Ramanuja, with a few of his followers, they secretly left and went to Melkote. Meanwhile, Koresh, along with Mahapurna, who was the initiating guru of Ramanujacharya, they went to the king. And the greatest scholars, pundits of the whole kingdom had a debate. And Koresh and Mahapurna effortlessly defeated them. So all the pundits told the king, there's nothing we can do. Their understanding of the scripture, their logic, their philosophy is undefeatable. So the king was furious. And he told who he thought was Ramanujacharya, actually Koresh, he said, sign this statement or you will die. The statement was that, you know, I have been defeated and that the king's religion is the supreme. So Koresh, he said, yes, of course, I will sign. And the king was very happy. Wrote all these nice things, and then he signed, and then the king read it. Essentially, in South India, there's different ways of weighing things. And one weight is a Shiva, and another is a Drona. And Drona weighs more than Shiva. So he said, even Drona is greater than Shiva. Then he signed Ramanujacharya. When the king saw that, he said, they must die. Kill them immediately. Torture them and kill them. But then the king's daughter came forward and said, you don't remember, but I remember when I was just a little girl, I was haunted by a ghost and there was nothing that you could do to protect me. And you called Ramanujacharya, and just by his chanting mantras and putting his hand on my head, the ghost left me. He saved my life. You cannot kill the man that saved the life of your daughter. So the king said, all right, take burning hot irons and burn his eyes out, and then leave him in the forest and see if he lives. So they took burning hot irons after they beat him, and they burned his eyes out. Extremely painful. Koresh, he folded his hands and bowed down to his executioners and said, I can never express my gratitude to you enough. What you have done for me. You have allowed me to perform this most intimate service to my Guru Maharaj. Because of you, I got to sacrifice my very eyes to please and serve my guru. I can never repay you. Thank you. The executioners, their hearts melted. They kind of arranged, you know, you go where you want to go. You are truly saints. And Mahapurna, he passed from the world in that state, remembering Vishnu, his guru Yamunacharya, and his dearmost disciple Ramanuja, and went back to Vaikuntha. And meanwhile, Koresh somehow made it back to Sri Rangam, blind. So Ramanujacharya is in Melkote. A beautiful story of what happened there. while he was there, he talked to the king of that kingdom, and that king became a devotee and made the entire kingdom devotees. So he had tens and thousands, hundreds and thousands of followers in Melakote. And every day he would go up to the top of the hill and he would worship Narasimhadev. Now the reason I'm telling this story is because of this. He got the news, because in those days there was no internet, there was no television, radios. He sent some of his followers to find out whatever happened to Koresh. And it took months and months before people, you know, searched everywhere and found and came back. And he heard what happened. Mahapurna was dead. Koresh was blind. And this king of the Chola dynasty was literally terrorizing anyone who was different from him. He was killing people, imprisoning people, torturing people. So Ramanujacharya offered a prayer to Narasimhadev. It was a prayer of selfless devotion. May I tell you the prayer? I'm going to tell you. He prayed, "My dear Lord Narahari, as you did to Hiranyakashipu, please do it to the king of the Cholas too." Because he's causing so much destruction and pain and misery and death to so many people. So Lord Narasimhadev heard his prayer, and the king got this little infection on his neck. And it started growing and growing and growing and growing until the infection became as big as his head. Hare Krishna, sound effects. He was suffering so bad. There were living insects in that big infection that were eating him. And here he was the king. He had unlimited quantities of money, power, but the nature of this material world, whatever you have, material nature knows how to make you suffer. Srila Prabhupada tells a story that the tiger is the king of the jungle, and nobody can contest against the tiger as far as survival. And the tiger's looking for food. And he could eat anything he wants, as far as he doesn't eat vegetables. But as far as any other living creature, he can just eat them. But a little tiny bird sits on the back of the tiger and chirps very sweetly a certain language all the animals could understand. "The tiger is coming, the tiger is coming." And it chirps very loud. And all the animals are warned that the tiger's coming. So whenever the tiger gets somewhere, there's no animal anywhere to be seen. And the tiger knows the bird is making everyone go away. And the tiger's starving. He can't find anything to eat because nothing's ever anywhere he is. And yet this little bird, which is this big, and he's gigantic with his teeth and his muscles and everything, but the bird's on his back. He can't reach the bird. The bird doesn't leave his back. So Prabhupada uses this as an example. No matter how great we are, still material nature knows how to put us in anxiety. There are just so many things beyond our control. So here is this king with everything, but he was suffering so bad and there was nothing. He got all the doctors, all the Ayurveda people, all the yogis with their mysticism, and nobody. It just kept growing bigger and bigger and bigger. He was weeping and crying in pain, and then he died. And his son, who became the next king, became a devotee of Ramanujacharya. And so when this happened, Ramanuja was sent messengers to find Koresh and ask, you know, how is he? How is he? Where is he? And finally, somebody came back from Malkote with a message from Koresh. Koresh said to his guru that, I am so happy. No one could be happier than me. Because I was given the greatest privilege of offering my eyes in your loving service. Just see, Gurudev, how fortunate I am. How generous you are with me. So that you could be on this planet giving unlimited light. In order for that to happen, I got to accept being in darkness. What a small price for something so great. So Ramanuja, later he met with Koresh. He said, I am going to pray to the Lord in the temple to give you back your eyesight. Go and ask for your eyes back. So Koresh went to the temple. Ramanuja said, do bhajans and prayers throughout the day. And at the end of the day, the deity is going to say to you that he'll give you a benediction. Ask for your eyes. He will give you your eyes. So Koresh chanted and prayed throughout the day. And in the evening, Lord Narayan said, I will grant whatever desire you have. Said, your guru wants you to accept your eyes back. Ask anything. Koresh said, if you will give me anything, my lord, this is the one desire that I have in my heart. Chatugram, my disciple who completely betrayed me and wanted to kill me and kill my guru, he's already died. Give him your eternal loving service in Vaikuntha. Narayan said, I don't want to do that. But because you asked at this moment, he is in Vaikuntha, eternally liberated. So he came out of the temple, and Ramanuja saw he was still blind. He found out what happened. So he said, go back. This is on another day. And do your chanting and your bhajan and your prayers. And Lord Narayan will offer you a benediction. Ask for your eyes. So he chanted and prayed. And when the evening came, Narayan said, I will give you any benediction. Your guru wants you to ask for your eyes. Koresh said, oh, any benediction, give me this. That the Chola king, he's already dead. Give him your eternal loving service in Vaikuntha, the ultimate liberation. Vishnu said, but what about your eyes? He said, give him liberation. He said, he is already now in Vaikuntha. So Ramanujacharya told him, please, go again. Please the Lord through your devotion, I will pray and ask for your vision. So he chanted the whole day, and then Lord Narayan again said, I will give you a benediction. And Lord Narayan said, your guru wants me to give you your eyes. Just ask for your eyes. Ramanujacharya said, if you don't want to ask for something for yourself, tell Narayan that I lost two precious, I lost the precious property of my guru, and I want to give them back to him. Kaurai said to Lord Narayan, I'm not interested in seeing anything else in this material world. If you really insist on giving me vision, give me this. Not my eyes. That in my heart, I always see your beautiful transcendental form. And I always see the beautiful transcendental form of my Gurudev, Ramanujacharya. Give me this benediction. And Lord Narayan, his lotus eyes were with tears. Such love. He said, I grant you that blessing. So he came out of the temple, still physically blind. Ramanuja brought Kuresh back into the temple. And he was before Lord Ranganath, the Lord of Sri Rangam. And Ramanuja said, what is the deity wearing today? And Kuresh, you know, his eye, you know, he didn't know which direction to face. He was blind. He explained every detail of what Lord Narayan was wearing. He has this kind of garland with these kinds of flowers and this kind of crown, and he's wearing this necklace, and he has this number of tulsi leaves on his lotus feet. He was seeing Vishnu within his own heart constantly. And Ramanujacharya said, what do I look like now? And Ramanuja made a little pose. He said, you are posing like this, and you have a garland of these flowers, and your tilak is like this today. He understood. He didn't want anything of this world. He just wanted to see Krishna and wanted to see his guru. But Ramanujacharya, there are different interpretations of this part of the story in different books of the Sri Vaishnavas. But Ramanuja prayed, Lord, he already has that, give him his vision. And then a breeze came from the feet of the Lord and touched his eyes and they healed. And one day when he was praying, Lord Vishnu said, I want to give you something. You've still never asked for it. Rama Kuresh said, I want to leave this world. And give me this one benediction. That after I die, anyone who's close to me will get ultimate liberation. The Lord said, I grant you this wish. So the devotees were brokenhearted that he prayed to die. He prayed to go back to Godhead. That means we're not going to be with him. So they went and ran to Ramanujacharya and said, this is what he prayed for. And Ramanujacharya, to their great surprise, he took off his chadar and started swirling it around in the air and was dancing in ecstasy. They were thinking, your innermost, closest disciple is soon going to die. Why are you so happy? He said, didn't you hear what he asked for? They said, yes, but why are you so happy? We're all crying. He said, he asked that anyone who's close to him is going to go back to Vaikuntha. He said, I'm his guru, so I must also be close to him. So because of Kuresh, I get to go to Vaikuntha too. That was his humility. And then he felt the pangs of the separation imminent for Kuresh's leaving. But this little story is the nature of what a devotee prays for when we're in pure consciousness. Nadanam na janam na sundarim kavitam bhajagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmanishwari bhavatad bhakti rohayita kitvai. I do not want wealth or the beauty of the opposite sex. I do not want fame, followers, scholarship, even liberation from suffering. I only want to serve you and please you, birth after birth after birth. Now, we cannot imitate such great personalities. If we tried to imitate Prahlad, Haridas Thakur, he was beaten in 22 marketplaces, and his only prayer was that the executioners be forgiven and give them love of God. We cannot imitate that. Mahajano yena katasa panta. But we understand the true spirit of the heart of these pure souls. And we see that as our guiding light. We see that as the standard that we honor, that we worship on the altar of our hearts. And as we're chanting the holy names, as we're worshiping Krishna, as we're doing seva, we want this. This is our ultimate goal. This unconditional loving service to the Lord. And this is the gift that Srila Prabhupada gave us. Entrance into that unconditional love through associating devotees, chanting the holy name. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. I will end with Srila Prabhupada on Jaladuta. He was in the same mood as these great acharyas. 37 or 38 days on this cargo ship. It was only a few days after it began in the Arabian Sea that he had his heart attacks, he had his severe seasickness. He had over 20 days on the boat after his heart attacks and seasickness. And there was no medical help. And he's now looking at Boston Harbor. He didn't know anybody. He didn't have any money. What should he pray for? In the Jaladuta prayers, he's praying, "My Lord, give me the words to make everyone happy. I have no capacity to reach their hearts with your message, but if you give me the words, then I could help them to become free from the modes of passion and ignorance and be happy in your loving service. Make me a puppet, your puppet, my Lord, and make me dance as you want me to dance." In such a condition, he was only praying for us. He was only praying what he could give us. How to repay him? Srila Prabhupada told us that we could repay him by simply accepting what he's given, sharing it with each other, and assisting him in giving it to the world. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. This is our spirit as we're distributing his books. This is our spirit as we're distributing prasad. This is our spirit as we're doing Harinam Sankirtan. This can be our spirit in every situation. reciprocate with Prabhupada's love. Hare Krishna.